Praise his name.
Bless the Lord. Thank you very much, Pastor Fiani. And we just want to greet all God's people and to say, oh, we are glad to have all of you here today as we meet together to worship, to praise, to glorify our God who lives forever and ever. We are so mindful and glad for all our visitors who are here with us today. Among those visitors, we are glad to have Brother Everton with us again. To God be the glory, my brother. And we are glad to have Sister Ellis also.
Yeah.
So we are glad to have all God's people here with us as we celebrate Jesus on this fourth Sunday in the month of June, as we give him the glory and the praise that is due to his holy name. I will be looking at the passage that was read earlier on by Sister Janine from Psalms 119, from verse 86 to verse 94. And there are different things that was said there by the psalmist, and we will be looking on some of those verses too. They are first time visitors with us. We are so glad to have you, and we trust that God will continue to bless you as you continue to worship with us. We are here on Tuesday nights at 7:30, and we are here on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock as we worship the Lord together. So we'll be looking at this passage of scripture today as we give God the glory and the praise that due unto him. And we'll be looking at it under the topic, God's word hold him to his promise. That's the topic for today. God's word hold him, God, to his promise.
Amen.
One of the things that we discover today in Christendom is that there are many Christians who seem to be operating on what is called wobbly legs. Wobbly legs in the sense that there seems to be a lack of confidence in God's word.
Yes.
There are things that they would have loved to see come to pass, and they have not yet come to pass. There are prayers that they would have loved to see answered, and those prayers have not yet been answered. And so, deep down in the heart and recesses of some of God's believers, there seems to be a sense of uncertainty in regards to what the word of God is saying. And so we'd like to look today to see on what ground the word of God is standing. I like the chorus that Sister Bernice started out with, on Christ, the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That is a very comforting line to us as we look on the word of God today. So I'd like to remind us about the topic we're going to look on. God's word hold him to his promise. Now, when we look on this particular Psalms 119, we discovered in there that the word words The word word appears over 43 times. It is mentioned in there over 43 times. That's a whole lot of time that the word word is mentioned in a chapter. And for good reasons, because the psalmist dwell on it, because it means something to him. It means something to him personally. And so when you go through it, you're going to find that there are different areas of his own life that he applies this to and cause him to continue to repeat the word word ever so often in his presentation. There are two outstanding sections other than this particular area that the psalmist mentioned the word word. One of them is in verse 11, Psalms 119 verse 11, where he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." There is another section there that means something to us as well. 105, Psalms 105, where he said, "Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." Does it mean to the psalmist that the word of God come home to him personally? And that's why he mentioned the word of God so many times in this particular passage. There's another section where he says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed to the word of God." In this same chapter. And so it means a whole lot to him and to all of us here as Christians in this service today. I trust that the word of God means a lot to us. And if we read this passage when we get a chance, I'm hoping that we will all see it in the same light as all the psalmists describe it. So let's continue to look here on what is said before us. Forever, he is saying, that is verse 89, Psalms 119, verse 89, and this is where the thrust of the presentation today is going to come from. Psalms 109 verse 89. As we said, the topic is God's word hold him to his promises. So the psalmist said in verse 89, forever, let's stop there for a second. The psalmist is saying, your word is forever. Your word is not just for yesterday or for today, but your word is forever. Forever, until the end of the age, into eternity, your word is forever. And then he went on to say in the same line, "O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Thy word is forever settled in heaven, says the psalmist. The psalmist is saying to us, look, your word is locked, your word is fixed, your word is steadfast, your word is settled in heaven. And it is settled there forever and forever and forever and forever. Your word cannot change. Your word is for everlasting to everlasting. This is how convinced the psalmist is in regards to what God's words said. And I trust that this level of confidence will reach God's people regardless of where they are. That there is something tangible that we can hold on to so as to stabilize our relationship with Him. That every morning we get up, we are sure that God's word is not going to change. And sometimes we measure God's word by our words, which is very unfortunate. Because sometimes there are things that we say, and with the best intention, we cannot fulfill. But God's word is fixed, it's firm, and whatever He says must come to pass, church. I like what James said to us here. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Listen to what James said. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. The place where God's word is fixed forever. The place where God's word is fixed for eternity. In another of his servants, he said, whatever comes down from that place, which is heaven, is good and it is perfect. But not only that he said that, the servant of God went on to say, there is no variableness about God. In other words, God is not like the wind, like the wave that goes out and comes in. God is solid, unmovable. His word is solid and unmovable. This is what James is saying to us. And the perfect gift that comes down from heaven and the good gift that comes down from heaven is coming from a place where everything is solid, perfect, and unmovable. Aren't you glad that God is like this? You can bank on Him. You can be sure about what He says. Because there is no virulentness about him. There's no shadow of turning. He dwells in unapproachable light. Dismisses all shadow. This is the God that we serve. But I find that he has forced himself. He has forced himself into a position where he held himself at a very high standard. That is God. He held himself at a very, very, very high standard. Because he introduced that to us in this passage of Scripture, Psalms 119. Not only did he say, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," speaking through the Holy Ghost into his servant. Not only did he say that, but look at verse 90 now, what he said. Psalms 119, verse 90. Listen to what he said here. Because he had just declared, "My word is forever." The word of God is forever settled in heaven. We have read in James where the word, there is no variableness with God. He that goes out and come in, he does not waver. He's constantly firm. And here is what he says here. In verse 90, he is the one that is now introducing something that means a whole lot to us, to convince us that he is holding himself at a very high standard. He introduced the word faithfulness. Thy faithfulness starts the verse. Psalm 119 verse 90. Thy faithfulness. He is declaring to all of us that he is faithful, that he is a faithful God. Hallelujah. And what other assurance do we need as Christians? Those who are on what is called wobbly legs. What other assurance do we need than the God that we serve is faithful? Hallelujah, saints. He is describing himself now as being faithful. Faithful in his act. Faithful in his attitude. Faithful in his character. He is describing himself. I am faithful. Whatever I say, it will come to pass. Some of us are a little bit older than some, meaning we have seen more things. We have heard more things. We have experienced more things than others who are younger. And in the same vein, there are things that we probably hope for from a long time ago, which we have not actually seen happen. And these will at times provoke questions in our hearts regarding the scriptures. But as we look on Psalms 119, and to find out how often the psalmist used the word word, we discover that there is something important about this. Because to those of us who are still looking for something that we expect to happen, we need to arise at a place where it has not yet happened, but it is going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that will influence our coming to church. That will influence our witnessing. That will influence our reading of the scripture. Because the word of God is declaring that the God that we serve is faithful. How can we be sure here? And not only that, the word, this line, verse 90, declare that he is, that thy faithfulness, declare his faithfulness. But his faithfulness is unto all generations. His faithfulness is unto all generation, church. It means that I want to say to the church right up here on the front section of my presentation that there is no more Bible coming down. We are not going to get another Bible in our lifetime and until the Lord Jesus himself returns. There is no more Bible coming. This is it, what we have. This is it. This is the word of God that is going to take us through until the closing of the age. Its faithfulness is unto all generation. And this is the word that expresses that thought. No more Bible coming. This 66 book is what we have here. And that is what is going to last through time. When you think about it, and you see how much this book has endured the different attacks that comes against this book from its inception. When you think about the different philosophies, when you think about the different opposition in politics, when you think about the different thoughts that the enemy puts in the minds of people to destroy this book, and it is still standing. Why is it still standing? Because it is forever.
Amen.
In heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God's word, which is this, hold God, hold the mighty God to his promise. Are we sure of that? Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to read a portion to us here. This is very important to us, saints. Very important to us. Because the wobbly legs that some of our believers are standing on, not only in America, but on different, in different parts of the world, as new philosophy are introduced, and they look shiny and attractive and sound good, we got to come back and find out where in this book God has determined that his words are true and will last forever. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to read to you from verse 13 to, I think, about 18. Listen while I read. For Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to 18. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the ear of his promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it with an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that set before us. And I read verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That is Hebrews 6, Hebrews 6 and verse 13 to 19. And bear in mind here, the writer to the Hebrews was speaking to a young set of believers, Jewish believers, who need to be convinced about the certainty of the Word of God. A young Jewish audience who need to be convinced about the certainty of the Word of God, much like many believers today, and therefore they are looking for proof to be so convinced. And there are two things that I would like to say here before I go any further. One, we are seeing here where the writer to the Hebrews make mention of God taking an oath. God swearing by himself. The place that I work, ever so often the police has to be called because of certain things that happens there. And oftentimes when the police came and put the offender in the car under handcuff, they would come back inside and they would ask me to tell them what it is that I saw. And they will quick to remind me that I'm under oath. So they asked me to raise my right hand and to look into the camera on their vest and to declare what it is that happened. And I'm conscious, very conscious, of what this means. Because what it actually means is that I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's the purpose for raising my right hand there. So that if the camera in the workplace was not enough to convict the person sitting in the car outside, I could be called to go and testify in the courts to strengthen the case of the officer. But there is the consciousness of me raising my hand in front of the law officer to say if what I am saying is not true, judgment could come upon me for telling a lie. And when I think about it, it is very frightening. But here is God. Here is God. Here is God. As the writer to the Hebrews declare to these young Jewish believers who are seeking for truth, who are seeking for something tangible to hold on to. Here is God saying, for when God, verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, in the courthouse and other place, and even as I raise my hand, we swear to God because he is greater. But God looked around, and God could not find anybody greater than himself. Therefore, God swore by himself. God swore by himself. His character now, he's putting on the line. He's placing his attributes on the line to prove his point. That whatever he says is settled in heaven. That whatever he says must come to pass. He's placing his character, his attributes, everything that makes him God, he's now putting on the line to declare that whatever I say, I will do. And Abraham thought that there was something wrong with the word of God at one stage. Just like many believers today. Because Abraham had to wait 25 years after the promise was made before the promise was finally fulfilled. He was 75 years old when he was promised a son, which would be the heir. And he had to wait till he was 100 years old before Isaac was born. 25 years. Why? Because God made the promise, and his promise must fulfill regardless of time, circumstances, or anything, because his word is eternally fixed in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, saints. And God hold himself to his promise that whatever he said, he will do. And So the Lord reminded us in verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 15 said, and so after he had patiently endured, that is Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I want to say to the believers right now, listening on these telephone lines, exercise more patience in God. Because your ways are different from God's ways. Your timing is different from God's timing. But whatever he promised, he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's word holds him to his promise.
Amen.
And verse 16 is like, it is so important that the writer to the Hebrews has to repeat it again. Listen to what he said here in verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it with an oath. Listen to this verse 18 now. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold up on the hope that is set before us. What are the two immutable things here? What are the two immutable things that cause us to embrace the fact that God cannot lie or God cannot change? There is nothing that can change God. God cannot lie. So the word said there are two immutable things. What are they? One, it is God's promise. God's promise cannot change. The psalmist said it is eternally fixed in heaven. It is impossible for God to change. His promises cannot change, saints. Whatever he promised must come to pass. In fact, Jesus, you remember, Jesus said, and almost, I think, all four gospel carries it, that heaven and earth will pass, but his word will never pass before they are fulfilled. At least five times in the New Testament, this statement is made. That heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of my word shall pass away. God promises must come to pass. And two, what are the other things that locks God's promises in place? His oath. He swear by himself. He swear by himself. He puts his character on the line. He swear by himself that he ceases to be God if his word does not come to pass. Hallelujah. So the psalmist, in dwelling on God's word in Psalms 119, 43 times or more, that the word is mentioned in that chapter, declare that whatever God says, God means it, and it will come to pass.
Amen.
Because it is eternally settled in heaven, and it is locked in by two immutable things, as recorded here in Hebrews. And therefore, this is what caused God to be faithful. This is why it is mentioned here in verse 90 that God is faithful because his words is hey and amen. It is locked in the heavens. It cannot change. And that's why we don't expect another Bible coming. This is it. This word of God is locked in heaven for time leading into eternity. And there he is not here. Not only that thy faithfulness is unto all generation. Every generation that is coming down the pipe, as long as the Lord tarries with us, this is the Bible that they are going to use that will steer them to the holiness and the righteousness of God. This is designed to last throughout all generations. Now listen to the second part of that verse. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same word that establishes the earth. The earth is abiding because of that word. The earth is continuing to be what God wants it to be because of the word of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The dirt from the very day God made the earth, the dirt remained the same type until today.
Amen. Amen.
The trees grow uprightly. Hallelujah. The rocks are still in the ground as God placed them in the first day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. The earth holds different patches of water called sea and river in the very same way as God first established it.
Yes.
Because why? They are held in place by an eternal word that is locked in heaven and cannot move. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I like how I like how God describe something here in Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 22. Listen to what the Lord said. Oh Lord, while the earth remaineth, it will be exceed time and hour, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the word of we right now. We are experiencing 98 degree summer heat. But God had promised that cold and heat will be here. Right now, we are experiencing different changes. But as the earth continued to move around the sun, we have four different seasons per year. And that started from God establishing the earth. It remains the same. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? The word of God is locked in and it is steadfast in heaven, and whatever God says, it will come to pass.
Amen.
Praise his name.
That's God.
The word of God gave the sea
above his name.
He said, so far you can come and no further. The word of God is holding the boundaries of the sea.
Amen.
The word of God is telling the sun that you must rise here and you must set there. The word of God is telling the moon what to do. The word of God is telling the stars what to do. Because why? It is eternally set in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let us dive a little bit deeper into this. Psalms 119, 86 to 94. Verse 91 says, they continue to this day. Hallelujah. The heavens on the earth continue to this day. Continue to this day. The day when the Lord gave his servant this word. And today, as we are reading it, the word of God caused the heaven and the earth to continue producing these different aspects of their creation until this day. The Lord's word kept them in place. And there is something here that really gets to me as I read this passage. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants. Imagine that. God is saying the earth is his servant. God is saying the moon is his servant. God is saying the sun is his servant. God is saying the trees are his servant. God is saying the seas are his servants. He did do what God wants them to do. And you know what? By virtue of them being God's servant, they are also our servants. Because while they obey God, they are producing things that help us. When you put in a grain of corn in the ground, because the earth is obeying God, you are not going to see a grain of peas. The earth is obeying God, and therefore we will reap corn if we sow corn, because the earth is in obedience to God. Hallelujah. There is no confusion in their operations, because God determined that they should behave a certain way, and they are, because his words are locked in heaven. And God's word, hold him to his promise. He will not disobey his word.
No.
Whatever he says must and truly come to pass.
Amen. He has his word above his name.
As Solomon built this temple unto the Lord, he called all the officers, the elders, leaders of the church, the great assembly, and he prayed. And after praying to them, he gave them instruction. Among the instruction that he gave is a verse here from 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. He said, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There shall not fail, listen to this, saints, there shall not fail one word of all his good promises, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Have you heard that? Samuel is instructing all these servants of God that there is not one word of God that is going to fail. Everything is going to what? Come to pass. And as I read through this, I have seen some things here where, on what ground does God have so much confidence in his ability that he was able to take a hold that if I am not faithful to my word, I would have forfeit all the attributes that make me God. What gives him this confidence? I'll read a passage here for you. From Isaiah chapter 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 46, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. That is a note of extreme confidence. But listen to the next verse. Verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Hallelujah. So this is where God's confidence comes from. He is in a position to see the ending from the beginning. Hallelujah. And he is even to make promise based on his foreknowledge as he saw things coming. And it is there that we are convinced that the word of God stands forever because of his ability, his omnipotency, hallelujah, his omnisciency, to be able to see the ending from the beginning, and to declare that I am God. Two times there, he make mention of that, that I am God, and beside me there is none else. Let me just read to us one more of this section here. That is Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, read from verse 10 to 11. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! What a confidence! What confidence is this that God is expressing within himself? No wonder he was able to swear by himself that he will carry out his promises. No wonder the psalmist, through the blessed Holy Spirit, was able to say that God's word is forever fixed in heaven. And I want to say to all of us here in this service who might be on wobbly legs, wondering if what God says, it will come to pass. I would like to say to all of us 1,000 times yes. Because God has placed his entire attributes as God underlined that his words, his promises must come to pass. So what is it that is here for us? You may ask. Not too long ago we were blessed with a thought coming from 1 Peter chapter 1. And I was particularly blessed with verse 4, but I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. Because when I look on that word and to see what is in there for me, and you can look on it too to see what is in there for you. What is it that is going to give me, is giving me the confidence that it is so? And what is it that is going to give you the confidence that it is so? Because if God was able to, through the blessed Holy Spirit, inform the psalmist that his word is forever settled in heaven, and God, through the writer to the Hebrews, indicates to a people who wanted to be convinced of the word of God, declared that God has purpose in himself by a heart, that by two immutable things, what he says will come to pass. I too need to be convinced of what God says concerning me and what he says concerning you. I read from 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Pastor Fiani brought up this passage of scripture not too long ago. And it has blessed my heart tremendously. Because I realize that as an individual, as one person, maybe nobody knows me. The world don't know me. My community might not know me. My state don't know me. The country don't know me. The world couldn't care less about me. But somebody thought of me. And you too personalize this. Somebody thought of you who nobody else knew. Why God places this word here. I read from verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is a firm statement. Many of us in this company right now should see this verse 3 as your passport, to become a child of God. Many of you here should see this verse as your passport to become a child of God. And verse 4 said, and this is the verse I was making reference to in terms of if nobody else knows you, there is somebody that is looking out for you. So here is what the verse said in regards to you. To an inheritance, incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah, saints! This is the promise that God has made in regards to you and regards to me. That he has prepared an inheritance. Where? In earth? No. In the White House? No. In your house? No. He has prepared it in heaven. Where did the psalmist said his word is fixed? The psalmist said forever thy word is fixed in heaven. It's anchored in heaven. Amen. It is there that God said our inheritance is secure. And God is saying that it is what? Look on the description here. God is saying that it is incorruptible. God, is saying that it is undefiled. God is saying that it fadeth not away, just like the word of God that endures forever. And God is saying it is reserved in heaven for you. That means your package has your name on it. My package has my name on it. And we are not going to see any cyber network cause confusion with my inheritance and your inheritance. No Russia can break through God's fiber network. No China intruder can break into God's heaven and manipulate things. God said it is secure.
Amen. Amen.
And how do I know that? How do I know that it is secure? Because the word of God tells us that his word is forever settled in the heavens. James tells us that there is no fearableness with God. And James also tells us heaven is a place from which good gifts and perfect gifts comes from.
Okay, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So what is in there for us? We are told here in 1 Peter chapter 1. But before this was said, you should make mention and look good. And what was said before that, that it is there for who? Let's read verse 3 again. Let's read verse 3 to let all of us realize who it is there for. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy,
amen,
hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As a result of the finished work of Calvary, God is saying, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Praise God.
For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you believe that, God said, verse 4 applies to you. There is an assurance of a package of inheritance that is in the heaven, secure for you, that God wants to give you. Because word hold him to his promise. Whatever God says must come to pass.
Amen.
Believers, friends, let me tell you this. I am glad when I saw this passage of scripture and to realize the extent that God went in order to prove his sincerity. And today we are beneficiary of that. We want to give him the glory. We want to give him the praise. Because from everlasting to everlasting, he is God. Shall we pray?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the assurance of your word to our hearts. We thank you that whatever you say is a and amen. Your words are locked in the heavens and cannot be changed.
Amen.
You are unchangeable. You are not a variable God. You are a firm God that sticks to your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And regardless of how long it takes to come to pass, they will come to pass because you have spoken them.
Yes.
Thank you for the different promises concerning me. Thank you for the different promises concerning all of us on these telephone lines.
Praise God.
And Lord, if we accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, all that you have promised in 1 Peter chapter 4 will be ours. Because your words cannot fail. It cannot return to you void. Whatever you said must come to pass. When you said, let there be light, light must come. Hallelujah. 186,000 miles per second, light drives darkness. And when you said, let there be light, there was instantaneously light. When you said to the winds and the waves, be still, immediately they obey your voice, because your word cannot return to you void. And that is what we have today, Lord. Because until this day, you declare in this passage that your word holds. So we bless your name and we thank you. We thank you for every person who listens. And we pray that they will continue to see you as the truthful God that we serve. But we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.